said, it is not for your sake that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name. John reminded us that I might tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God. We live in a post-Christian era. The Presbyterian Church is predicted to self-destruct by the year 2048, according to my friend Tom Gillespie, the former president of Princeton Seminary, while our English Methodist friends expect it to happen 20 years earlier. Why the crisis? What is happening to Christ's body, the church against which hell itself could not prevail? And the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. For the crisis is theological. What we believe about God, what kind of God we believe in. Who do you say that I am? Asked Jesus. He addressed his disciples then and now. The Jesus Seminar is a group of celebrity scholars with media savvy. They've established the Acts of Jesus, edited by Mr. Funk. They assert that through their voting, 82% of the words that are attributed to Jesus were not spoken by Jesus. Their five Gospels that they've prepared are liberated from the tyranny, oppression, and blindness of the Babylonian captivity of the Orthodox Christians. No church, no faith, no creed, just simply scholarly triumphalism. Elizabeth Fourier portrays Jesus as Miriam's church and Sophia's prophet. Burton Mack makes Jesus a Hellenistic sage. Barbara theorizes Jesus is a wicked priest of Qumran who eloped with Mary Magdalene, survived the crucifixion by drinking snake poison. Historical Jesus scholar, the late Marcus Borg, wrote, Jesus is a shaman-like charismatic. John Croson, Jesus is a peasant Jewish cynic. The Jesus of the seminar quest for the real Jesus is simply a reflection of the questers themselves, based upon ideologies of liberation and cross-cultural anthropology. While this fire consumes the scholarly class, the gospel is being equally presented by televangelists with poor theology. Texan Robert Tilton wrote, you can actually tell God what you want. It's a simple process. Step one, let God know what you need. Your car, job, money, trip, whatever. Step two, contribute your best gift to Tilton. After which God and Tilton will decree the miracle into existence in the name of Jesus. Ken Copeland proclaimed, you don't have a God in you, you are one. Ken Hagen agreed, you are as much an incarnation of God as was Jesus Christ. Bob Schuller stated, the gospel message is what every human being is looking for. The problem is we're not marketing it correctly. For the core of sin is simply a lack of self-esteem. And God said, Crystal Cathedral, you're closed. What if everyone is a little God like the New Agers proclaim? What if sin is simply a lack of self-esteem? Not. None of these assertions relate to the God that was made known to us in the Bible. Today's real issue in the Presbyterian Church USA is biblical interpretation. And our process selecting a pastor was caught in the midst of that. Shall it be tradition, or shall it be the Bible according to me? But God said, I will take you, gather you, bring you, give you. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Here is 586 B.C., or before the Common Era, if you want to be politically correct. The holy city is destroyed, the temple is burned and sacked, the royal household is executed. And Ezekiel envisions his task is helping these exiles preserve their identity as God's people and to prepare them for liberation. So Ezekiel tells the people, God will deliver you. Every prayer of every believer is based upon that promise. God will deliver. The issue that Ezekiel deals with has nothing to do with the hope. Hope is assured, but wonder, why would God do this? After all, the people have turned their back on God time and time again. Thank you, God. I can do it my way. That's the theme song of many. I'll do it my way. But thus says the Lord, it is not for your sake that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations. Walter Brueggemann, the Old Testament scholar, refers to this as one of the most dangerous and stunning texts in the Bible. For it sets free God's sovereignty at a distance from Israel, from God's people. God will act, but it has nothing to do with pity, mercy, or compassion. Ezekiel says, forget all that brotherly, fatherly love. Israel, you have thrown one long tantrum, and God, the long-suffering parent, will no longer take it. How long, O Lord, will you watch our spring breaks, breaking all the rules of civility and decorum, students in Florida demeaning veterans in the nation, our own U of M students destroying resorts, presenting lists of demands? We want, we deserve, we are owed. The degree is no longer an AB, it's a GM. Give me. A nation seeking in the despair of narcissism. E pluribus me. All the nations watched Israel. How far is God going to go? Now, according to the prophet, God said, enough. Nothing you can be sorry for now. Nothing to regret now. Nothing's going to change things. There's nothing left but God. Now, Ezekiel says, God is acting. So that all of the nations will see that God is God. Watch and know that this very God loves the people just like Israel. Our Christian hope is that God will be God. Oh, today's pundits tell us we should all just get along. We wish we didn't have all those terminating weapons. After all, we're a loving people. We're not violent or cruel. But then there's Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan and Crimea and Kenya and Metro Detroit. Augustine said the worst sin of all is the sin of merit. The notion that somehow God's love is our entitlement. The truth is no one is righteous. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And the panel of despair has fallen over God's good creation. And yet God continues to speak to us in the midst of our despair. God does not depend upon our goodness, our ability to defeat racism and sexism and classism, or even have our democracy survive. Israel is at the bottom. Exile. Defeated. And Ezekiel gives them hope. Not because God is going to give poor old Israel some preferential treatment, but because God is God. Today we hear God is my mother, father, sister, brother. God is on the side of the poor. God is my gender. God is my class. A God who is worshipped because the God is like me. Beside the God who fills our shopping lists, we have the God who places upon us the burdens of the world. You know what God wants, folks. Be God. Give all the folks self-esteem. It's kind of like Oprah. It's good for you. Then the famous vision. Ezekiel finds himself in this valley of dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. I will take out that heart of stone. I will give you a new spirit. I will put a new spirit within you. I will breathe in you, and you shall live. Ezekiel's word from the Lord addressed the people of God, Christ Church, Christ Church. The world is looking upon this church and wondering how long God is going to put up with a fractured, listless church with blunted mission. In the midst of this 21st century exilic despair, God proclaims the good news of life from death. We are a people chosen to witness to the power of God made known to us in Jesus Christ. My friends, only God can liberate God's people, the faithfulness. Only when we are transformed revived by the breath, the wings of spirit. See, God doesn't need us to redeem this world. God has already redeemed this world on the cross. And our hope doesn't lie in anything that we may be able to say or do. The victory of God over death and evil occurred in Golgotha. And eternal life does not begin in some cemetery. Eternal life begins when we say, I believe. The water of baptism. Dying, raised to new living hope. Losing our life for Christ's sake. Becoming new altogether. Taking our selfishness and pride and hatreds, our efforts to be like God, and placing them in Jesus' hands to be nailed to the cross to share a new life. Know this. God seeks you out, warms your heart, heals, directs, sustains, nudges you in your faith journey. But the time comes in every pilgrimage when you must choose whose you are. Through the ages, the enslaved and the downtrodden have sung it. In despair, the exiles sing today. Do you hear them singing? Jesus stands before the caves of our living and shouts as he did to Lazarus, come out with a new heart, spirit, healed, restored. But what if we might be crucified? Could I kneel on those sands in Libya, confess Jesus as Lord, lose my life for his sake? Christians, take heart. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. And let us together see the glory of God, for we will. We will. For God promised it.